Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Our fans, they're invested in the moment in that game. And so I get it. And it's just a part of a passionate fan base. And I wouldn't want it any other way. But internally, we stay poised. I talk about solution-based organizations. We're looking for solutions to continue to improve. No one ever gets too high or too low. And I think that's just key for a very successful football team. So we're never relaxed and comfortable, but we certainly aren't going to ride the roller coaster either.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is out today under the weather. We are talking Bears. That was Ryan Poles, man of the moment, man of the hour. Trade deadline came and went. The Bears stood pat, relatively speaking. They did trade Khalil Herbert to the Bengals for a 7th-round draft pick, which is a pittance. He was going to be a guy the Bears were not going to use for anything but insurance moving forward. He was the 4th running back, inactive the last couple Sundays. A guy in his 4th season that was not part of the plans. So the Bears moved on. Welcome also to the Chicago Sports Network audience. We're simulcast until 9 o'clock. Fun to be part of that as well. Talking Bears, I think that Dustin alluded to this during the first hour of the show, and I want to say I kind of dismissed it. But I know you'll be shocked at that. Texters reacted in a way that gave me a little bit some pause. Dustin suggested that Ryan Poles not trading for an offensive lineman reflected a general manager who was giving up on 2024. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Dustin. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you suggested that not going out and acquiring help now meant that you were going to be worrying about later and you were going to be thinking about 2025 rather than the final, the remainder of 2024 season.
I think it's fair to speculate. I think it's fair to ask why didn't you do that? And I don't think it's just about the game last Sunday. I think it's the two games put together and the fact that this division got off to such a good start. And he says to himself, forget about taking the North and never giving it back. I'm not sure we can win a game in the North. So why would I give any extra draft capital to these two guys, meaning Eberflus and Waldron on offense? We're talking about an offensive lineman. Now, right. I know you could say, well, you got to protect your franchise.
Well, that's my argument. Right?
But again, now you could also you know who should have had a meeting this week? You know, we talked about team meetings earlier in the show. Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, and Shane Waldron, that they should have had a meeting and said, if we ever get in a situation like that again, one of two things is happening. Number one, with 4 minutes to go, the franchise quarterback is going to take a seat and look at the tablet, and or you will only be handing off, You will not be leaving him in shotgun in an empty backfield knowing that you're going to throw the ball when we can't protect. You know, you're doubly not protecting him. The play calls aren't protecting him, and the offensive line can't hold up.
312-644-6767. Did you read it the same way? Do you think Ryan Poles not trading for an offensive lineman, not bringing in more help, suggested that the Bears are already writing off the remainder of 2024? 9 games are left. They haven't even played a division game. They're 4-4. We can overreact. Everyone's got a role to play. Our role is to overreact to 2-game losing streaks. Their role is to make sure that every week is a season unto itself. And every season, as we remember from Theo Epstein, every season is sacred. You don't abandon hope now if you are Ryan Poles, especially, and this is the primary reason why I didn't dismiss it, but I don't agree with it, that premise that they're looking ahead already, is because Caleb Williams the last 2 weeks has regressed. I do think it's a step backward. You want that to stop. You want this to be going in the right direction. You want his ascension to be part of the story of 2024. For that to happen, you have to protect him. You have to protect him from the pressure so he doesn't face another game where 16 different defenders apply pressure like the Cardinals did, where he's not getting pressured over half of the time and he's got more than, he has fewer than 2.5 seconds to throw the ball and find a receiver. Caleb Williams has regressed, but the offensive line is complicit in that regression. And maybe their fingerprints are all over Caleb Williams because they're helping him off the ground because he's sacked again or goes down again. So I don't necessarily agree, but I wonder what you think. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Dom is in Lyle. Dom, welcome to Mullen Hall. How are you this morning?
Great. This is out to DJ Moore. This guy's got to be super, super frustrated. If Carolina would have traded DJ Moore to the Vikings instead to the Bears, he's a Hall of Fame talent. And now he has he had Justin Fields for a couple years, and now he's got Williams now. And he's never going to put up the numbers that he's capable of putting up. He's a 100 receiving guy with over 1,500 yards, and he would just blow up the numbers. And now with the Bears, they're throwing these sidearm screen passes to him. And, if he was with the Vikings, man, he'd be a superstar.
Thanks for the phone call. I think he's a star receiver. If he's with the Vikings, he's a second receiver. He's not better than Justin Jefferson. I think DJ Moore, he has taken a step back in his numbers this year as well. Maybe that's a source of some frustration. Maybe that's why he's taking himself off the field and staying off the field. Maybe that's a knee-jerk reaction that he did in real time. I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of that. I think we'll hear from DJ Moore later today at Hallis Hall, and he can explain himself. Him running off the field certainly raised some questions about his motivation and maybe raised some questions that are more concerning to the Bears coaching staff than a guy like Tyreek Stevenson turning his back on the play, taunting the crowd, because that's just part of his personality, and he's a young, somewhat undisciplined player. DJ Moore is not. DJ Moore is a captain. He's a captain in the midst of a down season. They can't find ways to get him the football. That's not on DJ Moore. That's on Shane Waldron. Remember when we talked about all the weapons? Who was going to get to 1,000 yards first? Who was going to be the leading receiver on this Bears? Is this the best trio of receivers in the National Football League? That was fun. That was August. Welcome to November. It's a cold reality in the National Football League. The Bears' offense stinks. Their passing game is broken. And DJ Moore's suffering as a result. Now, I don't condone if he did indeed leave the proceedings and sit down and take a seat. I want to hear his explanation before I'm going to bury him. But I do want to hear from his explanation, because I think that it's a fair question to wonder what he was doing on that play. On the Pro Football Show on the Chicago Sports Network last night, I asked Mike Pereira about stepping off and going back and receivers reestablishing and all those things. And it was a good explanation and a fair question. I don't know if it's relevant or not, but this is what Mike Pereira had to say when I asked him on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN about reestablishing once you go out of bounds.
Well, it is crazy when you look at a play like that. But look, at once you go out of bounds, once you step out of bounds as a receiver, whether you're a tight end or not, once you step out of bounds, you cannot come in and be eligible at any point, even if you reestablish with both feet or another body part. So you're not eligible. There is one situation, though, where you could be eligible. That's if you're fouled out of bounds. So let's say that the defense commits illegal contact beyond 5 yards when Caleb is still in the pocket, and that contact takes you out of bounds. Then you literally can come back in immediately. I mean, you can't go to the bench and then come back in, but you can actually come back in and then be eligible to make the catch. Usually where it happens more is at the end line, where there's been a little bit of a scramble, but the quarterback is still in the pocket, and then the defender chucks the receiver out of bounds over the end line. That's illegal contact, and if called, then he can come back in. But eligibility rules are confusing to people. Some people think when a defender goes out of bounds, he's automatically ineligible and cannot come back in and intercept the pass. That's not true. The eligibility rules don't apply to defensive players. They just involve offensive players. So confusing. But once you get out of bounds and go out of bounds, you cannot come in and be the first to touch. And if somebody contacts you before you touch it and commits what would be pass interference, wouldn't be a foul because you're not eligible.
Good stuff from Mike Pereira on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN on Tuesday, explaining that odd play when DJ Moore went off the field. Back to the text lines, 815, David or Dustin. So much has been made over the Poles trade with the Panthers that I'm sure teams don't want to give a deal that may make them look bad. I don't know about that. I think if you have a deal to be made, you don't worry about necessarily looking bad or previous deals. I think that you want to strike a deal that's good for both teams. Let's be honest here. My reason for not necessarily buying into what Dustin is suggesting in terms of looking ahead to 2025 already is because the reality is there aren't many offensive linemen that are any good that were on the market. There might have been one of them. And Cam Robinson went to the Vikings last week. I don't know that there were many other offensive linemen. Teams are keeping guys who can block and protect the passer. You know why? There are not very many of them. This is not the golden age of offensive linemen. There's so many bad offensive lines in the NFL that I think that you have to remember that when, and teams are remembering that because they want to hold on to those guys who can.
Here's the thing, though. Was this team a player away, or was they more like any player could help this team? Could any player really help this team, or is it more just the offense itself?
Well, I think that's a great question, Brandon, because I think you could make the argument 2 weeks ago when the offense was functioning and trending in the right direction. You could make the argument maybe this team was one player away from becoming an elite, more elite defense. And maybe Za'Darius Smith would have been the guy that you wanted the Bears to go after. Maybe they wanted to give up a King's ransom for Myles Garrett and talk the Browns out of him. Maybe that would be the one player, an edge rusher, that puts you over the top. I don't know that there's a one singular player as an offensive lineman that says, okay, we're going to the playoffs. We are taking the North. I don't know that that guy's out there. And if that guy's out there, he's under contract. Penei Sewell's not coming through that door. He's going to be locked up in Detroit for a very long time. Those guys are secured and signed, and they're kept because of their value to the respective teams. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Lots of reaction. We'll go to Cameron, who is on the road. Cameron, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I had an issue with how just these past couple of years, Poles have just kind of stockpiled draft picks and not really went out and, you know, explored the deadline and like you did last year with Sweat. I'm just a little lost in why they didn't try to go get help for Caleb Williams. I mean, it would have been nice to see them try to find a decent offensive lineman to stop this crazy pass rush and not be on record pace to have so many sacks. So I just would like to see how you think about that.
Thanks, Cameron. Appreciate the phone call. We'll ask Dan Weederer if there was any chatter maybe that he's aware of between the Bears and other teams that were shopping offensive linemen. Again, when you look around the league, you see a chronic problem with protecting the passer. I think we're going to need like an expert, somebody like Olin Krutz or somebody like Patrick Manley, somebody who studies and watches these games 3 and 4 times and sees blocking schemes and what they ask these blockers and offensive linemen to do that's not getting done. But you look around the NFL, the Bears are far from the only team struggling with stability on the offensive line. And in that context, there's not many available. It's not like wide receivers. There seems to be like a surplus of wide receivers that you feel like you can plug and play. Guys get moved because they can make an impact. I don't know that there are many offensive linemen out there. It's certainly a different category and maybe a different approach. Let's go back to the phone lines. Josh is in Joliet. Josh, welcome to Mullane Haw. How are you?
Good. How are you? I have a question. Who do you think should be the Bears GM next year? Because Ryan Poles is failing to protect Caleb Williams, just like how he failed to protect Justin Fields.
Oh, we're there yet. We're there. We're already. Josh, I don't think that the seat is as hot for Ryan Poles as it is for Matt Eberflus. And I don't think it's going to get that way. But I will say this. He'll likely get a chance. Worst case scenario, if they do fire the head coach at the end of the season, I believe Ryan Poles will get a chance to hire another one, a replacement. General managers typically get 2 chances if they are general managers who have had the success that Ryan Poles has had. This roster was put together pretty well. Pretty well. That trade was the best one the Bears maybe ever made. You look at the Montez Sweat acquisition as being a difference-making deal. You look at DJ Moore coming here in that big trade, but also being locked up as a good trade and a deal. Drafted overall pretty well with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. Now, the neglect of the offensive line is something he'll have to answer for. Will he answer for that with his job? Not yet. Not yet. But it's getting louder. It's getting hotter. And this is the reality of being an NFL GM with an underachieving roster. And the way the expectations were framed, that the Bears are an underachieving roster, you can't argue with that. So I like the sentiment. I think it's a little early. Sean is in Romeoville. Sean, welcome to Mullane Haw.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Great show as always. I was just thinking of trying to think out of the box here. And I don't think Ryan Poles is an idiot. And I definitely think he values Caleb Williams. I think everyone's chasing Patrick Mahomes, man. I think, meaning, if you look at the landscape of the NFL, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to beat that guy. So we got to find that guy. It's kind of like the Jordan effect. And I think it's kind of giving GM's tunnel vision, where they're just looking to find that guy and they're not really looking at other things like protecting him and all that kind of stuff. I think it's really kind of creating this kind of tunnel vision for these GMs because I mean, again, Ryan Poles isn't an idiot, and I know he values Caleb Williams and wants him to be that guy. I don't think this is just pure negligence, man. I just think it's a little bit of oversight because he was in Kansas City. I think Patrick Mahomes is kind of giving GM's tunnel vision where they're not looking at everything else, but like, I got to get that guy.
Sean, let me ask you a follow-up question. So you think that the preoccupation with finding the quarterback has forced that to be the emphasis, so the offensive line is not necessarily as big of a priority because you worry so much about the quarterback?
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. Again, Ryan Poles needs Caleb Williams to succeed. Everything depends on it. I don't think he just neglected the offensive line. I think what he thinks is, I don't think he cares as much. He wants to win. I think he wants to finish this year. I already think Eberflus is gone. I think what he wants to know at the end of this year is, with some adversity, is Caleb Williams my guy? And then I believe he'll put a lot of emphasis on the offensive line next year.
Sean, I think you're on the right track. Thanks for the phone call. Let's squeeze in Brian, who's in Madison. Brian, welcome to Mullane Haw.
Morning, gentlemen. I was thinking, if you wanted to really protect Caleb Williams with the offensive line that we currently have, why not do something old school and actually go back under center instead of doing 90-95% chance of shotgun where you can't run the ball? Olin Krutz has said that multiple times, and yet it seems to fall on deaf ears. I just don't understand why anybody doesn't ask Waldron why we don't go back to under the center. It seemed to work 2 weeks ago when they were actually winning, and then he went away from it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the phone call. Good observation. I don't necessarily disagree. I think it's a conundrum and maybe a tough balance to strike. When you start up tempo and you are struggling in the first quarter, as the Bears have all season long, it's the biggest problem maybe in the first half. Up tempo, no huddle. You almost need to be in shotgun. That you're typically in shotgun when you go up tempo, no huddle. So I think that you have that reality and you try to balance that with, yeah, you know, under center is not a bad idea if you want to establish the run too. You'd like him to do both. You'd like to mix and match. You'd like to trust your offensive coordinator to be able to do that, to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think the Bears can multitask. You would like to see them be able to mix in up tempo so they get the rhythm going, because Caleb seems to thrive in those situations. At the same time, emphasizing the run so you're not in so many third and longs. Yeah, it's asking for a lot. It's the NFL. Teams deliver a lot. You've got a generational quarterback. Oh, no, I said it. Generational quarterback. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't squander his potential. Help him. Help you. Right now, Shane Waldron's not doing that, and it's a big problem. We'll see what Dan Weider has to say about it. He is the Take the North podcast former partner. Now he does it with Mark Grody. He also covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, and he joins us next on Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hike! Hike!
Dan Weiderer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Weiderer with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Welcome back. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is out today under the weather. We are talking Bears with Dan Weider. And like all of our guests, Dan is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good, David. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay. Looking ahead, the Patriots come to town on Sunday. Last 2 weeks have not been what the Bears have wanted from any perspective, but I think especially when you zoom in on the quarterback, Dan, let's talk about Caleb Williams. What have the last 2 weeks done to your confidence level in him being able to ascend this season?
Yeah, I don't think it's dramatically altered it. I think it's been a very right in front of you reminder that the rookie roller coaster can be jarring at times, and they ran into an opponent last week that does some things in an orthodox fashion that tests a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of experience in this league. It doesn't have to have a lot to rely on to go back in the library and say, okay, this is what we do to find answers against some of these looks. And they struggled. I think more concerning to me, and there were two drives in that game that really allowed the game to get away. Number one, you get down early in the second quarter and you get first and 10 at the 11. And you don't run the ball at all, and you end up throwing three incomplete passes, and you settle for a field goal, and then you quickly get the ball back after the Reddy Stewart forced fumble that Elijah Hicks recovered, and you've got the short field, and you don't do anything with that, and you have to settle for a field goal on a six-play, 11-yard drive. Those things will kill you. But when you walked out of that game Sunday, David, you had concerns with the offensive line and what the protection is going to look like going forward, and how that is going to put other thoughts and other bits of anxiety in your quarterback's mind if you can't create protection and comfort behind that front five.
How fair is it to wonder if Ryan Poles should have done more at the trade deadline to provide that protection, to go get offensive line depth.
Well, I mean, tell me who, tell me where, tell me who else was stocking up. I know Brad Biggs talks to you all the time on here about the offensive line store and how there's not a lot of top shelf items there.
Vikings with the Nordstroms. I mean, that's just saying, you know, they found their guy.
So the other part of this is, I think if we've learned anything through the first 9 weeks, 8 games of the season, is that the Bears aren't Super Bowl contenders this year. And so for Ryan, the goal here is to build a successful program that can sustain the victories and the wins and the success that you have. And so you have to balance the urgency of now with the foresight of what you're going to need in the future. And so I don't have a real issue with how they handled the trade deadline. I think you have to go forward now with an understanding that you need to collectively find answers to get this thing turned around. I promise you, on Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field, I don't know if you'll be there or not, but we're going to hear boos. The first time that the Bears offense goes three and out, if their first series results in a punt, you're going to hear boos. And so now you better prepare your team and your rookie quarterback to understand what that is and what that means and how to handle all that, because you are going to be playing in front of a very restless Soldier Field crowd, even with an 8-game home winning streak and the idea that you're welcoming a really poor and vulnerable opponent to your building.
I'll be there. Why do you doubt me? Just because I got Grody replaced when the podcast doesn't mean I'm skipping games.
You missed one earlier this year, didn't you? I feel like that was just checking in. And also, it's been a long time since we've been at Soldier Field, right? Like, it's been 5 Sundays, you know? So it's like, this is a new thing here, and the Bears haven't had a noon game locally in a long time. And so, you know, we'll see what they bring to the table on Sunday.
Just to close the loop on the trade deadline, what did the Bears lose in Khalil Herbert, and why didn't things work out for him better this year?
I mean, look, it's just a position that in this league is pretty cruel. And they obviously went out in free agency and signed DeAndre Swift to be their lead back. They believe in Roschon Johnson and the things he can do in pass protection. That was the biggest knock on Khalil Herbert overall, is that he wasn't great in pass protection, and he wasn't always super into it either. You know, that like that there were some effort things on pass protection plays that left a little something to be desired. So you just kind of fall out of favor at a position where it's really easy to find replacements. The Bengals will obviously try to plug him in. I think they play tomorrow night, and we'll see if he gets anything in terms of action tomorrow. But that's just this league. You know, it's the running back revolving door moves faster than a lot of other positions. And, you know, in this case, you had two backs offensively ahead of you. You had another guy in Travis Homer coming back off an injured reserve who does more for you special teams. And it just becomes a numbers game to some extent.
Tom Dan Weider, who covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, also does a Take the North podcast with Mark Grody. You can download that and find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, in tweeting out your appearance on today's show, you were met in a response to your tweet was a dumpster fire, because it reflected what the Bears are trying to put out at Halas Hall. In your mind, of all the issues they're dealing with, which is the biggest?
Belief. I mean, that's where I go to, and you felt it in the locker room on Sunday. You felt it in the locker room last week. You felt it when you guys had DJ Moore on earlier in the week, and you kind of asked him directly, you know, do you still have the trust in Matt Eberflus and the leadership above you? And the answer wasn't hell yeah. It was, I want to say, or you know, it was, you know, I want to say no, that we haven't lost the locker room, I think was exactly how it was phrased. And so I just need to see this team pick itself back up. I need to see not only a victory on Sunday, but a victory that is convincing and tells you that they understand what their flaws are, they understand what their strengths are, and that they can put together a performance for 3 hours on a game day that matches their promise and their potential. Like, this is a results-based business, and I'm so over and fatigued by hearing about the practice sharpness on, you know, Wednesday through Friday, and how good the walkthrough was on Saturday, and how united the team meeting was on Tuesday. None of it matters. I mean, it doesn't matter if it doesn't translate into the 3 hours that you play a game every week. And we've just lived it too many times to go, way to go, guys. You know, glad that you showed the great response on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Show me the response on Sunday. Show me the response on game day. And until you can, you're going to face the criticism and the doubt that the outside world has in you.
Tell me how much you're making out of the DJ Moore play, where he ran out of bounds, and now we have video evidence of something. I don't know what. What do you think?
DJ Moore typically speaks after Caleb Williams on Wednesdays at House Hall. I want to know what he thinks. I want to hear from him, and I want to judge the sincerity and the explanation that he gives to us, because it was not a good look. It's not the first moment in the first eight games of the season where we said that wasn't a good look for DJ Moore. And again, like, you know, to tie it into the Tyreek Stevenson play from Washington, you've got a hits principle where every snap is supposed to be graded and, you know, establishing a standard, and guys are supposed to be held accountable if they don't meet it. What was that? So Matt has to address that today. I think Caleb may comment it. We'll see what DJ has to say, and then we'll circle back to what it all means. But I think when you go through the video of the entire game in Arizona Sunday, David, you still see significant disconnect between DJ Moore and his quarterback. I can't get my arms around why it's so major. I mean, Caleb's throwing back shoulder while DJ's running deep. You know, you've had a half dozen to 10 moments this year where you're like, that's just two guys that aren't in sync, that the rapport isn't there. And we're too deep into the season for your number one receiver to not be in the flow of the offense the way DJ hasn't been in the flow of this offense.
I love the part of the podcast was the uh-oh moment every week when you break down Caleb Williams' play or the quarterback's play. This week it was, uh-oh, he's still in the game. There's a minute left. Why is he still in the game? I went a little crazy on it Monday morning. It was something that stood out to me about Sunday's performance. Among all the bad decisions, that might have been the worst one. Mm-hmm. How satisfied were you with the explanation? And do you None. Think that it's justifiable in any way?
Nope. And David, I was more bothered by this Tuesday afternoon rewatching the offense with a much greater magnifying glass, because it was clear from midway to late in the third quarter on that the Bears offense was out of sorts. It had become a game where almost every time Caleb Williams took a snap, he was under duress. Some of it was his own doing. You know, they weren't setting protections properly. They weren't protecting well. You had two offensive tackles out of the game, starters. Like, circumstantially, you had a situation that as a head coach, you have to be aware of. I get it. You want to get him working the two-minute operation. A rookie quarterback, every rep matters. In that situation, his health matters way more. And if you had been in tune with how that game flow had been and understood exactly where you were in that football game, it's a no-brainer decision to say, Tyson, grab your helmet. We're going to need you to just finish this game out. And you send him in there. The inability to do that and then to see Caleb take a hit on the second to last play, a hit on the last play, you just, I said it in real time on Sunday. I pushed my chair away from the press table in the press box and just, I think I said out loud, what are they doing? You know, Ryan Poles is 6 feet behind me in the row above me, and I can't imagine what's going through his head in that moment. I can't imagine what he said to Matt Eberflus the first time they addressed that play. I haven't gotten to your rant about it on Monday. I'll put that in on my drive up to House Hall this morning, and maybe I'll feel good about that too.
Did he pound the table?
No.
Have you ever been in, I can remember those situations where you're always sitting close to the general manager in road games. I can remember Jerry Angelo once pounding the table after something happened, maybe a sack or I don't know what it was, but those were always fun moments, and you always include those in the stories because that's kind of like atmosphere.
2022 game losing ceiling result ceiling interception in Atlanta in Georgia when Justin Fields overthrew, I think it was Dave Montgomery on the play. That's the one Ryan Poles table slamming moment that is etched in my brain. That's the one I can remember most clearly. The other thing, as you know, sitting up there, some of these press boxes have better glare on their windows, right? Like Green Bay is a place where you can basically look forward.
Too, yeah.
You can look forward and you can see the expression of the people in the two rows behind you.
Yeah.
You know, and so it becomes this little,
it's like a
looking
mirror
glass.
Yeah.
Into the emotions of the front office.
All right. So knowing what you feel about Cole Kmet, my sense is that because he had no targets on Sunday and only one of the last 2 weeks, you're feeling a little bit of a personal slight toward you as well. But seriously, why is that such a problem for them to find a tight end? Early in the year, it was, why is he not playing more than 50% of the snaps? Now it's like you can't find him on third down or any down. What's going on there?
What happened in London with Cole Kmet? Did he score two touchdowns? Did he have one of the best outings of his professional football career? Was it this reminder of, oh yeah, the Bears paid $50 million to this homegrown talent because they believe he's got a well-rounded skill set that helps them both in the run game and as a major weapon in the passing game. And then we come back out of the bye when you're supposed to have a little bit more clarity and sharpness about who you are identity-wise, and you go two games getting him the football one time, David, it's inexcusable. And everything that's happening with the offense right now, particularly after the momentum they had built up, albeit against poor defenses against the Panthers and Jaguars, it's gone. That momentum is gone, and they don't seem to have a clear-cut sense of who they are or who they want to be. You know, Cole said something in the locker room on Sunday after the game about, like, we're too far along after OTAs and mini camp and a training camp that gave us an extra week because of the Hall of Fame game. And now we've had, you know, six games and a bye week and two more games. We shouldn't be asking these basic level questions on who we are and what do we want to be. That's forefront on the topic of what you just asked as it relates to Cole and his involvement last week. You got to be better. You've got too much talent in this offense to have too many guys being ignored for as long as they're being ignored.
Quickly before I let you go, Dan, anything about the Patriots that we don't know and should?
They're not very good, you know, and that yesterday going through it, okay, they're the worst offense in the league in terms of total offense. They don't pass the ball really well. They give up pressure on defense. They're bottom 10 in interception rate and sack rate and total defense and rushing defense. You look at their depth chart, a little bit more appealing on offense, but on defense, I would dare you, without going to the web, to name two players on the Patriots defense. You're not going to be able to do it. It's not a good opponent. They're 2-7. They won their opener. They've lost, you know, a bunch since. And you can't take care of business Sunday. Uh-oh.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and the Take the North podcast. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I will see you Sunday.
I look forward to it. It's always good having a muffin up there in the press box on Sunday morning.
Great stuff, Dan. So when we come back, you want to hear what Chris Long had to say. This DJ Moore thing is taking on a life of its own, and we'll get into that on the Mully and Haw Show. Mully out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
If DJ Moore doesn't want to be there and he doesn't like the quarterback, who's going first? And I was pro Fields. I was the one that was like, keep Fields. But if this is what we're doing, and I felt like maybe DJ Moore was pro Fields, like reading between the lines last year, right? Then here's the door, dude. Like, they're having trouble getting him the ball anyways. It feels like Rome Odunze and him are on the best page out of three wide receivers. And by the way, this is from Rich Habar. Highest inaccurate target rates for players with 25-plus targets. Odunze's number 6. Keenan Allen's number 8. DJ Moore's number 10. You're not even getting missed the most out of the three, y'all. How are you the one walking off the field?
This Sunday, join the Score in Circus Sports Illinois at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Mully, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley will host the pregame show there from 9 to noon, then immediate reaction on the postgame show after the big game. That's this Sunday at flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Whoa, Chris Long going after DJ Moore. Whoa, where did that come from? Chris Long on his podcast talking about DJ Moore. I have never heard somebody go after DJ Moore like that. DJ Moore's known as a consummate pro. Yes, he's our guy. I think I always feel like we have to establish that. He's every Monday at 8 o'clock. It's a paid appearance. We like him because he shows up every Monday after every Sunday. But it doesn't make him immune from criticism. And if he did, in fact, take himself out of the play, we'll hear from him later today at Hallis Hall, I'm sure, pretty sure. If he took himself out of the play, then he deserves to be criticized the way any player would under those circumstances. I don't think that we're at the point where you're like, there's the door, dude. I don't want to show him the door. I want him to show us the way to the end zone, touchdowns, first downs, catch the ball, find them. It's not hard. I don't think DJ Moore is part of the problem. I think DJ Moore is a big part of the solution. Do I think he and Caleb Williams are in sync? Is their chemistry great? Do they have a healthy rapport? No, no, no. I don't know, but I would suspect there are issues there. People are the human condition. DJ Moore was a guy that defended Justin Fields. He was in the bunker with Justin Fields. Justin Fields was his first quarterback with the Bears and, frankly, helped DJ Moore make a lot of money, get that contract. Now, it had a lot more to do with DJ Moore in my estimation, but there's a loyalty there I can understand. The dynamic was very healthy. We saw that. I don't know how he feels about Caleb Williams. He's been a pro, but there have been signs. We were reading DJ Moore's body language earlier in the year. Who does that unless there's something that he is saying with his expressions or with his gestures? I don't think it's time, though, to cut bait and certainly not talk about either or, stay or go. Quarterback or WR1, he's your number one wide receiver. Find ways to utilize him. Protect your quarterback. Throw the ball down the field. You want to change anything, change your play caller. You're not going to do that. Matt Eberflus said no. So I really like Chris Long. I really like Kyle Long. The Long brothers. I like Howie Long. I like the family. They've got great football insight. They have great opinions. I don't agree with this. I don't want to be critical of DJ Moore until I know more context. Now, if he provides a context, then he's worthy of criticism. But let's hear from him because he has earned the benefit of the doubt, and keep an eye on that situation. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Jerry is on I-80. Good morning, Jerry. Welcome to Mullen Haw.
Good morning. First of all, that play never happens if Caleb Williams isn't running for his life. I still got to go back to the fact that we have an offensive line that Luke Getsy used to block guys for a running game, and then we go out and get a new running back similar to Pinky Gentry, who doesn't hit the hole hard, and we don't have Getsy anymore calling the plays. Shane Waldron uses a, I think five second routes, because if you remember what Chris Collinsworth said, to make the rookie feel more comfortable, we should have 2 and 3 second routes where the ball's gone in 2 and 3 seconds. I don't understand the play calling. I don't understand Pohl's lack of knowledge. He was an offensive lineman.
It's a great point, Jerry. You would think that they would address one area well. It would be the offensive line. I do question the use or the lack of use of the short passing game, because you're right. They're running routes that are too long and the pressure is too quick and the passing game is out of sync. So keep an eye on that. It needs to develop. It needs to develop quickly. You need to get your number one wide receiver more involved so he's not doing things that raise doubt and questions and criticism from guys like Chris Long, who on the Green Light podcast really let him have it. He's got the respect, though. I like that podcast. I like that brother tandem. And I want to hear what DJ Moore has to say later today. All right, when we come back, there's a detail about Matt Eberflus's contract that you need to hear. There's a detail that is in this morning's Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, from our guy Bigsy, that will provide some context in the conversation about Matt Eberflus's future. We'll talk about it next. I'm Mullen Haw. Mully is out today under the weather. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.